to truly believe in the magic.
Welcome to Let's Talk Magic. Tonight, I am with the Welsh Wizard, as you'll see on your screen. G, you've been battling the card of cold. You're sponsored by Cavonia. How are you doing?
I've just literally had a big gulp of Cavonia for the podcast, so I don't start coughing and spluttering everywhere. I'm good, thank you, mate. I'm better now. I've had the flu this week, so I've been laid up a little bit. Christmas blues a little bit as well. You know what January's like. Unfortunately, some of us have birthdays in January, don't we, Paul? Mikey as well.
I've already had a rant off camera about it. I can't wait for the Merry Christmas gift box that I'm bound to receive from somebody bought in the boot sale, palmed off as a happy birthday gift. Yeah, I love
that's
them.
It. Yeah, that's it. How are you, Guy? You good, mate?
Yeah, all good in the hood, mate. Just ticking on. And you'll notice as well, if you haven't heard already, we've got the Slice himself, the Sheriff of the Slice, Mr. Bacon. How are we doing?
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been before we go any further, I will apologise to everybody for not having done game previews since the Golden State game. It's been a bit of a run at the start of the year. We've had one or two issues, a bit of a roof leak and lack of internet for a couple of days. So it's been a bit full on. So I do apologise.
These things happen, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as it gets sorted.
All good, mate.
Right. Today's episode is brought to you in association with Attraction Tickets, the UK's number one attraction ticket and theme park hotel provider for Disney, SeaWorld and Universal Studios. Importantly, they also sell Orlando Magic tickets at hugely competitive prices, which is why you might be watching or listening to this. So when planning your next trip, do check out Attraction Tickets using our link in the description to purchase your tickets for Orlando Magic Games, Orlando's major theme parks, attractions, shows, sports events, basically everything the City Beautiful and surrounding area has to offer. You can also visit letstalkmagic.com for all of our affiliate links and discount codes, including the NBA store and Fanatics. On today's pod, we're going to be discussing Paolo Banchero, recent games, the first man to have his jersey retired, the big diesel himself, Shaq. We're going to discuss trades, injuries a little bit maybe, and we're going to look forward to some upcoming Magic fixtures. However, before we do that, Patreon, it's been absolutely brilliant for us. We love having the Patreon membership and sponsors, people who do back us. Massively appreciate. We see it every episode. We're shouting those guys out. No particular order. We've got Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Drum. I saw that just in my background notes. I thought, here we go. Well, I trip up on that one. Paolo and Franz Warmth, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzies, and Barry Conn. So, the magic. We've played a few games since we've last recorded, and we're going to just keep this very, very open because there's been a lot going on. But obviously, there's been games against the Knicks. We've played the Suns. We've played the Golden State Warriors. We've played the Sacramento Kings. And we're fresh off a tremendous, tremendous victory with a very shorthanded Magic team against the NBA champion Denver Nuggets. For me, the big takeaway was I think Paolo Banchero's taken another leap in this time period. And he looks every inch a top 20 player in the NBA. He looks like a superstar. He just looks as though he's on a whole different level. So I'm just going to throw it out there, basically, guys. And so, G, I'll start with you. What are your takeaways about what you've seen lately? And then we'll jump to Paul and see what the slice is live.
So just have a quick look back at the last two games, really. Obviously, you know, that Sacramento game, it was a fun game to watch. Other than the fact, you know, we were on the losing end, it went back and forth. We thought we were going to win. We thought we were going to lose. We thought we were going to win. We had our share of bad officiating, which I'm sure we'll get to in a little bit. Obviously, Franz Wagner got injured early on, which was, you know, a significant part of the game and to our team. But it was just the way that the team came together and reacted in, you know, being able to compete with the Kings on a back-to-back, obviously after losing in Golden State the night previous. Which I thought was quite a bad loss, to be honest with you. So I don't think Golden State, there's much about them anymore. You know, they live and die by the three. Unfortunately, they got hot in the fourth quarter. That was a game that, you know, I thought we let slip. But no, the, you know, the Kings game, let's just start with that. You know, losing it in two overtimes, Banchero scoring 43 points. And as you've said, Gary, you know, he's become that star. And, you know, through all of this losing in the last week, the one major positive for me is we've got Banchero and Franz Wagner locked up. That they are bona fide stars. And we've seen now in the last two games, you know, we've got very, very good pieces around who can step up no matter, you know, what needs doing. Goga Bitadze's done at the beginning of the season. Mo Wagner yesterday against Nikola Jokic. Caleb Houston knocking threes. Chuma Okeke, you know, coming in the third quarter against Sacramento, drilling a few threes, you know, fresh off the bench, you know, his first sort of proper minutes in a very long time. And it was a nice reminder. But obviously, we lost to the Kings. But the way we competed, you know, we got beat up on the rebounds by 58-39. We set a franchise record with the 3-point field goals made, which was absolutely superb. And long may that continue this season, you know. But it was, unfortunately, it was a game, you know, I thought the officials didn't officiate this one very well. And I know I tend to have a bit of a whinge.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
And now, a referend with Garant.
We need
a bit of music sweeping in now.
Cursive writing going up the screen as well.
Oh, yeah, I know. Get the
come on, mate, get it out there. Come on, because you and I. We were watching within minutes of one another, weren't we? By the time we were.
I mean, it was that overtime. I mean, we were up 25 seconds to go. And, you know, the last 2-minute report from the referees says that the officials got, what, 3 or 4 calls wrong?
3 calls in 25 seconds.
That's absolutely disgusting. That just changes the whole complexion of a game. You know, Traveling Queen shouldn't have been called for a foul on Monk. Sabonis leans in, sets an absolute killer of a screen on Traveling Queen, busts a guy's eye open, dripping blood everywhere, and fair play to Joe Ingles coming on the court and pointing out in his street clothes to the officials, you know, the blood was dripping all the way to the locker room. They don't even look at it. For me, that was an offensive foul and a flagrant foul because of the way he leant in. Obviously, he rolled to the basket, of flagrant two even. Yeah, that's right, Paul.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
But that freed him up, and he got an easy basket. I can't remember if it was an and one as well, probably a little ticky-tack and one, whereas he's just set the screen of his life. Then Paolo shouldn't have been called for a charge on Lyles the next possession. There was then a possession where Paolo, the ball went off him, but, you know, come on. And then end of overtime one. Sorry, my cough's just about to come back. So I'll let Paul take over in a second. But the play where Paolo made the layup act should have been an and one opportunity to basically win the game at the free throw line. So, oh my gosh, it was just absolutely raging after that. But yeah, go on, Paul, you take it over from here, mate.
Well, mate, on this referee, my WhatsApps to G were, should we say, blue at the least. I was incensed. That 25 seconds was ridiculous. First of all, on the week, there's been some gritty attitude. I was really impressed by our win over the Knicks. I know it's going back a bit, but we really came out with a hell of an attitude. And coming into your point about Paolo, I loved that battle between him and Julius Randle. Both were superb. And you look at who Paolo's gone up against this week, some of the best in the league in the position he's faced, and he's come out with flying colours. He's had so much praise from, we had Mike Malone, we had Tom Thibodeau, we've had Steve Kerr, I think Frank Vogel was complimentary about him as well. then there's been Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, all have come out and said that this guy is phenomenal. His effort is incessant. It really is. I'm going to come back to Paolo in a minute, but because I think we've got to also mention the effort that Anthony Black and Jalen Suggs have put in. It started with the defense against Jalen Brunson, where, again, you listen to the post games and the respect that they were getting, saying that nobody has given Jalen Brunson a harder game than those two did, that they never gave him an inch.
That was Wally Szczerbiak, wasn't it? The next play-by-play guy.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it's good to see the love that we are now seeing for some of the Magic players, and that's becoming increasingly true around Paolo. It's becoming increasingly true for Franz, and I think you've got to throw Jalen in there as well as players who are finally getting some recognition. I'll be honest, coming back to the week, I don't get the criticism that a couple of lesser performances from both Jalen and Goga garnered. Phoenix, yeah, perhaps because that game was winnable, as was the Golden State game. But you know what? Do you go into work every day and have a perfect day? Everybody has a dip in performance at some time, and it's true of sport. And you look at how Jalen's bounced back in these last two games. The performances he's put in has been superb, including getting his career high, tying his career high and getting his career high in the last two games. I think for me, when you look at what Paolo has done, there's all sorts of incredible highlights out there of his play. He's ultra reliable. He's professional. He's a pure role model, modest, polite in interview. And there's so much else besides. Add in all these incredible statistics that Josh Cohen highlights. And I say, please go and have a look at that, because it's incredible what this man has done. He's up there with the very, very best of the NBA. At present, he is, I would say, playing at a level that is an MVP, almost an MVP level. He's playing as well as your Embiids and your Tatums, your Giannis's, and your Nikola Jokic's. He is having such an influence on this team. But still he gets ignored effectively by the NBA media and TV. Utter disrespect for the number one pick, rookie of the year, and still to have his first nationalized TV game. Man, it's wrong. It's got to be if his first nationalized TV game is All-Star, wow.
What date is the All-Star game this year?
I think it's after. In fact, it'll be OKC. Will it be the OKC
game? It will be the OKC game then, yeah. Yeah.
The OKC game. But it's mad if his second nationalized TV game is part of the All-Star game. Absolutely mad. I just don't get it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Paul, because it's one of the topics we'll jump into it now. Obviously, the first returns have came out, and Paolo's sitting down the list at about 10th for forward front court players, shall we say, in the Eastern Conference. What's people's thoughts on that?
He's behind Kuzma and people like that, isn't he? Unfortunately, I think you've got, you know, people out west, Laker fans, etc., probably voting Kuzma as one of their previous, and there's lots of Laker fans. That's my thinking behind it. And obviously, as Paul's just mentioned about national coverage, we never see Banchero's name in it. He did win Player of the Week, didn't he? One week. But other than that, you barely see his name on ESPN. You don't have the TNT guys talking about him. So unfortunately, until we get a bit more limelight on us, and hopefully, you know, that's going to start now that people are actually taking us seriously. And obviously, this game in February is obviously going to help. And let's just hope that, you know, the big TV companies flex a couple of the San Antonio or Detroit games that they've penciled in for later in the year, and switch them to Magic games, because obviously, you know, I can't remember a bad Magic game this season. Can you?
No. I think, oh wait, again, can we just back to his last four games? I don't know if you've seen this one on X, Orlando Muse. Orlando Muse, the guy, he comes out with some fantastic stats.
Yeah.
And this latest one that he's come up with, players 21 or under to average 32, 8, and 7 over a four-game span. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and now Paolo Banchero. Yeah. That's some elite company. Mm-hmm. That's elite company. You look at what he's done on this West Coast trip. The statistics are phenomenal. Absolutely mm-hmm. phenomenal. 32.5 points per game. 8.8 rebounds, 7.3 assists, 32-point performance. All have been 27-plus points and 43, including a triple-double then also against the defending champs. What more's a man got to do to get attention? I just don't get it.
Yeah, we just need to keep voting. We just need to keep voting daily.
But he has been incredible. He has been incredible. He's he perhaps might not be the most efficient.
But his efficiency is up from last season, and that's all we can ask for.
Even when he misses, he still puts himself back in that position to have another shot. He's playing a point guard role a lot of the time. He's so influential on this team. You just cannot overstate the impact that he's had for us.
Yeah, well, just looking at the season stats this season, he's at 22.7, where he was 20 last season in terms of points, and you got 7.1 rebounds against 6.9 last year, and then you've got 4.9 assists against 3. So obviously he's getting double teamed more, he's getting scouted more, and then you look at the efficiency, he's 46% from the field, where he was 42 last season, and then he's shooting 37 from downtown, whereas last year he was 29. So you know, we can't ask any more out of him, and he's become, you know, the real leader. I think somebody put a photo up yesterday of a tattoo he's got on the back of his leg. I think it's El Capitan. You know, he is the captain. So yeah, let's just hope he continues the great performances.
You know, you compare his figures to a Jason Tatum, and I'm a fan of Tatum. I think the guy's brilliant, but his figures for his rookie season and this point of his sophomore season are so far ahead of where Tatum was. It's incredible what he's doing.
And you add to the fact that he's bigger, he's stronger on the block. So he's got a wider load and more opportunity to, you know, bully other opponents, like we saw against Julius Randle, you know, going toe to toe with him, somebody who often, you know, gets his way down in the paint. It was good to see.
Well, somebody else put out a comparison between where Paolo is at this moment and where Julius Randle was at the end of his second season. And again, the stats that Paolo is producing are so far in front, it's mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. I think that the guy will get there. I do think that the guy will get... I don't think any of us expected him to get voted in. I think that would be an overstretch at this point. I also think that... But I do think 10th is a little low as far as Eastern Conference in your forward positions. But I think that he will get selected by the coaches. I do think he'll get selected.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be.
I can't really blame people though. I know I've seen people like going, getting really upset on Twitter about the voting system, which I get, but it's the system we've got. But I can't blame people that much for where he is, because if you were to take a neutral, like an interested NBA fan or somebody who just likes the NBA, without like a massive affiliation, you're probably going to vote for Embiid, you're going to vote for Giannis, and you're going to vote for Tatum as the front court. So it's kind of like Paolo dislodging one of those to get the votes. And it's really, really hard to do when the Magic don't get the national recognition on TV. That's what does it, because people who like basketball, like the NBA, I know people who just watch for players. I'm a Giannis fan, or I'm a Luka fan and things like that. And then I just watch around that. They aren't getting
honestly,
the chance.
That's where I started.
Yeah. But they aren't getting the chance, are they? So they don't get the chance to see Paolo. So you're going to see what, like G said, where you're going to have maybe Laker fans who go, oh, I don't like particular superstar X because of when we've encountered them over the years. So I will vote for one of our guys, Kyle Kuzma. And we do it.
We do it as well.
We'll vote for former Magic players who've left a good impression. So it's kind of in that thing where it's really hard for Paolo to break into there. But on the other hand, it's quite good when we know that if he doesn't get brought in as a coach's pick on a team with probably going to have a winning record going in, I hope I haven't jinxed it, going into the All-Star game, it's like one of the snub of all snubs. And I feel for Banchero a lot because he wasn't a clear number one pick. And then he's came in, he's the least, he's not respected when you look at like Cade Cunningham, Victor Wembanyama. Paolo's just sitting there putting up generational statistics. And we've mentioned Julius Randle. If Paolo Banchero's career pans out into Julius Randle, he's actually hit a flaw. They were talking about a guy here whose flaw is a bench all-star. That's his flaw. And he's halfway into his second season. And we know the comparisons and the stats. Like you said about JT there, Paul, about Tatum. Paolo's, I think, in the last 6 to 7 games, taken that leap that Tatum took like a year and a half later down the line where it was like, well, this guy really is it. Paolo's doing that now, and he's doing it as option one. The first option, and it's unreal.
It was in JT's third season.
Yeah.
His first rookie season, 13.9 points, where he played and started in 80 games. Sophomore season, played and started in 79 games. You've got to remember what he's got around him at this point in these two teams. He was at 15.7 points. And then it was his third season where he took a massive leap to 23.4 points. His assists went up to 3 a game. His total rebounding went up to 7 a game. And you saw some improvements in efficiency and stuff like that.
Yeah. So to year,
he's a year one, two,
a year, sorry. Year and a, yeah, he's a year and a half ahead. It's absolute mad. But then we're dealing in an NBA where I'm not knocking Wembanyama here, but it's still Wemby, and Chet Holmgren's for me the rookie of the year.
I agree, 100%.
You know, so it's kind of, it is a crazy world we live in, and we've just got to hope that the coaches are going to do the business, because what if they don't? Hey, maybe it works in our favor anyway, and Banchero goes on a tear with a chip on his shoulder post All-Star. But it's encouraging. I think, G, you said about those two being locked up as two future stars with him and Wagner. It's really interesting. I'm keeping it like a low key, slightly more of an eye on Jalen Suggs than I normally would. Not that I don't keep an attention on him, but I've just been watching a little bit more. And he's creeping towards 40% from three this season. He's about 39% right now. And, you know, Paolo was giving him the love post-game in that captain-type role, saying he, you know, backed Suggs and keeps telling him he's the man. And we know that he has the coaches behind him. But the comparison's been Boston Celtics with Tatum, Brown and Smart. And right now you're looking and you're going, well, Paolo's ahead of JT at the same stage. I would say Jalen Suggs is ahead of Marcus Smart significantly for where Smart was as well. I still think there's a chance that Jalen Suggs is more of a Drew Holiday. I still think that.
Yeah, and if you think back to Marcus Smart, if I remember the first two seasons, he couldn't hit a three to save his life.
Bombed up.
Yeah. So obviously he worked on his game and he got very good. But yeah, Jalen's absolutely brilliant, you know, and testament to him. You know, 7 of 9 on 3-point field goals yesterday, scoring 27, career high. But his defense down the stretch on Jamal Murray, my gosh, yeah. He didn't give him an inch, did he? And it was good to see Mosley as well on the sideline. I don't think it was that play. I think Travelling Queen was guarding Murray on a different position. He was like, he's not going to shoot. He's not going to shoot. Oh, was it Murray? It might have been Reggie Jackson, actually. It was Reggie Jackson, wasn't it? But it was good to see Coach get into it as well with the mind games against the Nuggets. But no, just going back to that Denver game, I didn't finish when I just started earlier before my little coughing fit. That team performance yesterday. I mean, I'm sure when we all started watching it, you know, you see Anthony Black, you know, get benched because he's ill. We've got an 8-man rotation. We've got one center. And the job, you know, Mo Wagner did on Jokic. And it was just him, really, wasn't it? You know, other people, you know, switched up. Paolo played a bit of 5. Then you had a lot of OKK minutes. You've got Admiral Schofield coming in. Just that was probably one of the best wins of the season, wasn't it?
I think one absolutely guy who brilliant. Has to have a huge amount of credit in that game is Cole Anthony, because that guy was in pain throughout. Every time he jumped and landed, you could see discomfort through his quad muscle. Every time there was an impact with another player, you could see that discomfort. And he came out and he gave 100%. He left nothing and knocked in 23 points. The man was fantastic.
The second half, he was unreal.
Unreal. I agree. Mm. Absolutely unreal. But I also think over the week, you've just mentioned a couple of them there, G. Travelling Queen, hats off. He's come in and he's worked his absolute backside off. Caleb, done the best he can. And Tumor. You've got to just... Every single man who's been asked to play has turned up and worked. And I think those final three have to be... We never mention them. We rarely mention them. And you've got to say that they've come in and really produced some excellent performances. Because we were lucky in Sacramento, and Denver last night was just stunning.
And the icing on the cake there was obviously Paolo getting his first triple-double as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, have you seen that? I mean, that stat as well with that one, that it becomes one of 7 players all time in NBA history for a 30, 10, and 10 game before turning 22. One of only 7 players. And the others are Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry, and Luka Doncic. My God.
Elite company.
If we always look at things through like Magic glasses, which we do, and that's fair enough. We are biased and we never said any other. But I was watching the fourth quarter of the Nuggets game today. And you're seeing things, you know, like where Mosley's off the bench and he's hounding him. I saw Paolo give Aaron Gordon a couple of verbals during the game, you know, when you're reading his lips and stuff. And I was loving that. But you're seeing Cole playing through the pain. You're seeing Anthony Black suiting up when he's not ready to play. You're seeing Paolo saying the things he did in the press conference after, and Jalen Suggs talking about the battles he's gone through, the support he's had. These guys like Tumor coming in, you know, Travelling Queen, etc., with the big bench minutes. We're seeing Joe Ingles running on the court and stuff in the Sacramento game. That's a culture, that.
Yes.
And I was sat back and I was like, even if I'm not a Magic fan now, I'm sat back and I'm going, if you're a player who's looking to move and you're not happy, you've got to be looking at this going, hold on, this is interesting. This is interesting, where you've got a young coach, you've got the players who go out there, and the players love Mosley. Like, to me, it's obvious now that the respect he's generated and the culture he's brought in, because it's the next guy up mentality. But these guys I'm struggling, really. Maybe early Stan Van Gundy, but where there's that like bond and respect, and I just hope it continues, because if I was a free agent or a person who was trying to get traded in the NBA, I'd be putting Orlando going, I like what I'm seeing there, to the point of where I think our next city jersey should have culture across the front. It's like the Magic culture editions.
They've just got an incredible spirit. They don't make excuses when they lose.
Yeah.
Even when excuses are available, they don't make excuses for themselves. They take it firmly on the chin. And as you just said, they have really bought in to what the coach is bringing. They'd run through a wall for him.
Yeah.
And they'd run through a wall for each other. And it doesn't matter who's in the rotation. It's incredible to watch. It's incredible to watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to switch focus a little bit, guys, onto some big news that came out in Orlando earlier in the week. I know we've talked a little bit about it in our group chat, and it's certainly divided opinions on Twitter. But the Magic made the announcement earlier in the week that they were going to retire the first jersey number in Orlando Magic history, and it's the number 32 for Shaq. And it's divided opinion on Twitter. It's divided opinion with prominent Magic posters who I follow, friends of mine, etc. I've got my views. I will give them, but I'm going to open the floor up. So
you go first.
I will retort politely. So, G, I'm going to start with you, Paul.
Oh God!
Please go after. What's your views on the big man getting his jersey retired?
What?
G?
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all, I got to say, it is a massive congratulations to Shaquille. It's nice to see the Magic actually acknowledge, players and put a jersey up in the rafters. It's something we've been asking for a long time. Myself, I believe it's the wrong number. I believe 25 should be in the rafters first. For all that Nick Anderson stood for, has done, and continues to do for the Orlando Magic and the Orlando Magic community. I don't want to take anything away from Shaquille, because obviously he's a very deserved player. But for me, he did put Orlando on the map, which is, the one big thing he did, but then he did bail. And a lot of Orlando Magic fans haven't forgiven him for what had happened. Now, for me, my Magic journey started 97-98. And my first game was the game when Nick Anderson sent Shaquille packing in his Laker jersey in his first return to the arena. I think the score was 96-94, and then Nick did the old chicken dance. Hence, he's my favourite player. So I didn't follow the team when he was on the roster. So maybe that's why. But obviously, I know, Gary, you followed the team longer than I had, and Shaquille was a big, pull and big player that, you liked. But for me, so I'm going to cough now. Excuse me. It's the stuff that's happened after as well. He puts us down in the media, and it really grates me. When Dwight Howard was on the team, it was, Orlando this, Orlando that. I'm the real Superman, this, that, and the other. So I just got a little bit sick of it, to be honest with you. I was always a Penny guy, a Nick guy, Dwight Howard. And I know Dwight Howard and Penny both left in, circumstances similar. I'm going to be there on the 14th of February. And I'll applaud and I'll celebrate it. But 25 should be up in the rafters for me first. But but anyway, congratulations to Shaquille. And we hope he's one of many jerseys to go up in the rafters.
Paul, how can you follow G there? G's made his case.
Okay. First of all, I don't get this retiring of jerseys at all. I don't get it. Yeah, the guy, whoever it is, whether it's on whatever team, whoever it is, I don't get it. You've got all the Hall of Fame. I prefer that idea to retiring jersey numbers. I can't help it, but that's just me. However, if we are to do it, I find it hard to see who is more important or impactful in terms of the Orlando Magic history than Shaq. I wasn't a fan of basketball in his era. I never saw him play. I've only ever seen highlights of his play. But from my perspective of coming into basketball after started watching it in 2010, he was the player that had put Orlando on the map. From looking at things subsequently, as you read things, it appears to me that the Magic did him dirty by lowballing him. As such, I find it difficult to actually say that he was wrong to then go and seek being appreciated and getting paid elsewhere. And if that's in, whether I like the Lakers or not, if that's in LA where there's all the attendant attention, you can understand that. Equally, and I get exactly what G's saying about that he does. I mean, I'm aware of watching interviews now and still hearing him put the Magic down. But I've always got to temper that with the fact that if you are at somewhere and you feel underappreciated and you feel that you have been aggrieved by that organisation or by certain people in that organisation, you're not necessarily going to have a lot of nice things to say about them. Mm-hmm. And you tend to carry that grudge. He's an incredible player for the Magic. He's still a leader in as far as some of the stats go. If we're to do it, I can understand why he is the first one. But equally, I can understand why there is some controversy about it. But I think some of that controversy has been brought about originally by the Magic themselves from a perspective of not having been involved at the time. There's still a lot of Magic fans absolutely love the guy. Mm-hmm. And over to one who still does.
It's an interesting one for me because my view on the jersey retirement ideally would be who brings a championship to Orlando.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would like to see number 50 going up there as the MVP of the finals or number 5 or something like that, and the Magic getting the first banner and one day bringing those back. But it's not to be. And I know it's going to divide opinion because I was in Orlando. I arrived in Orlando the day Shaq left. So I was there for a holiday, arrived from Carolina, drove down as a teenager, walked into the hotel room, put on ESPN as Shaq was being announced, Shaq's left Orlando. And when you talk about magnitude of a player in a place, everyone was talking about it. You know, I saw jerseys getting burned. I've seen the cutouts being destroyed. I heard, you know, bellhops, reception staff talking about Shaq leaving. I remember sitting, I wasn't allowed to drink in a hotel bar. The barman talking to me and my dad, and he's on about it, and we don't need Shaq, we've got Penny. Shaq was always, and I was like, I remember even saying then as a kid, I was like, you can't replace 30 points per game, those rebounds, that presence in the paint, the size, everything that Shaq brings. And I would not be an Orlando Magic fan if it wasn't for Shaq, because it was getting that jersey instead of a Jordan one. So I was thinking about it when it was announced, and I'm like, well, okay, say Orlando didn't win the lottery that year and get what was the LeBron James Wembanyama pick. It was the generational pick that came in. We could be the Charlotte Hornets. If we'd gone to, we would have probably took Alonzo Mourning. We'd be we're the Charlotte Hornets. We haven't got the same media attention. You didn't have the Beatles, Orlando Magic coming into town. Then guys like him and Penny cleaning up all-star votes. Penny's a great player, but he got the media recognition there because the people were watching for Shaq. He was a consensus number one generational pick. He brought me into the Magic. And yeah, it was awful when he left. And as a kid, I hated the Lakers from that point on because I was kind of like they're taking away my favorite player. But we played our part in that as an organization by not giving him what he wanted. And at times he says stuff, and I'm kind of like, why have you said this, Shaq? But then, as you said, Paul, I think people, when there's feelings involved, have these things to say. When there's feelings involved, and if we look at it, maybe this is another way, there's another view of where the Magic have reached out to Shaq, and maybe he's going to become an ambassador for the Magic on a national level now. maybe this is the bridge being mended. Maybe he's going to be the guy on national TV who's going to go, have you seen what my boy Paolo Banchero is doing down in Orlando? Maybe that's what comes out of this. And if that comes out of it, maybe that's a good thing. You know, Shaq is a national media voice. We hear it all the time, people talking up the Celtics and the Lakers. That might turn things. Shaq could become that voice. And when he got announced, I felt he was really heartfelt, what he said when he was talking, when he's Mr. DeVos. When he was talking about the organization, his voice wavered a little bit when he was talking. And I was like, this means something to him.
And we all know he's not that good an actor.
Yeah, he's not that good an actor at all.
You know, we've all seen him in films. We know he's not that good an actor.
Steele didn't have the blue chips that night. But yeah, it was a it's an interesting one. But I think it blows my mind. I said this to G, and we said it in our group chat. It genuinely blows my mind when I hear and I get it, no Dwight Howard, we could be playing in another city. I get it. I totally get it. But no Shaq, and we could be the Charlotte Hornets, and nobody cares. And we could have gone anywhere. And it just blows my mind when I think about being here, being a Magic fan, and seeing Dwight Howard and the Dwight man, how he forced his way out of Orlando, GM the team, took himself out for what on paper was an awful package for the Magic. Like, it came better in the end, but it was awful. Set the team back probably a decade, caused a hangover of a year at least of bad feeling in the city where I was just get him off the team. There's that argument out there. And I'm like, well, particularly T-Mac didn't leave in the best circumstances either, because you were talking then a top three player in the NBA, top five player in the NBA. And it was, I will be traded to these teams. Like, T-Mac could have stayed and played alongside Dwight.
He could. He just needed to give it one more year, didn't he?
So
that could have been so different.
Look, yeah, exactly. I love T-Mac. I really do. I love Penny. I like Dwight Howard a lot. I've got fond memories of all of that. But when there's that, like, all these guys here and then Shaq here, I'm like, that doesn't add up to me. That just doesn't add up for me at all.
I think the issue
is the impact of Shaq, the impact of Shaq leaving.
Yeah, well, the fact that the Lakers had a dynasty then, didn't they? The fact, T-Mac never won a championship. Howard left the Lakers and, that team was in disarray. He bounced along. He's eventually got a championship going back there, but he was never the player that he was. When Shaq left, he was still that dominant, diesel truck, wasn't he? And he continued to be. So maybe that's why we sort of hold it a little bit more than what we did with Dwight and T-Mac.
I just genuinely think if we put the money down, I think he would have stayed because we were next. Like, we never knew that the injuries were going to come for Penny like they did. But then I think it was Chris Page said ages ago, would their injuries have happened for Penny without the load carrying that he had? That Magic team was unreal. Like, that was the got next team. And when you look at it, Shaq, Penny, two of your top five players in the league anyway, Penny pre-injury.
Yeah.
Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott, their jobs, like Dennis Scott, when Shaq was there, was a legit offensive weapon. Horace Grant still had years within him. He would go on to win with the Lakers. So the starting five was set. What if the Magic had kept Shaq and then Chuck Daly came in as coach, the championship-winning coach? What happens then? For me, he deserves it. If we're going to retire a jersey, you start it with 32. And I love 25, and I would love it to be hung up there with it because he's done it. Nick Anderson's the best ambassador any sports team could ever have. And he was unreal on the court, and I loved him when he was there. But again, I know who Nick Anderson and everybody are, and the Magic and all this, across a Shaq. So,
yeah.
I know it's something that I asked in the group, but I'm going to ask you again. Who outside of Shaq would get the Magic national media attention by retiring the jersey?
Mm-hmm. It ain't Dwight.
Shaq's the most, and then it'd probably be T-Mac and Penny. But then the problem is with T-Mac and Penny is they're both number one. What you do there? Jonathan Isaac also wears number one. So do you let him wear that until he retires? Or I don't know. But obviously, the Magic have changed the criteria. So I think I read that being in the Hall of Fame is one of the criterias now. Obviously, Shaq's in there, T-Mac's in there, Penny's nominated this season, this year, I believe. So, you know, we could get some more jersey retirements in the next couple of seasons.
I can see one going up. Yeah, I can see number one going up. And rightly, you know, again, you come in and you go with your player that brought you in. And if you came in as a Magic fan, for example, with T-Mac, what memories you've got of him. If your teenage days growing up in Orlando were with Dwight Howard and that team, of course you're going to go to bat. Yeah, who brought you in?
There you go. You got Shaq. I got Nick. Mikey's got T-Mac. And Paul's got Evan Fournier.
No, Paolo, mate. We're going with Paolo and Franz. Which I can ignore
I'm only
that
joking,
developmental.
Mate. I'm only
I can
joking.
Ignore that. That was the developmental period.
Yeah,
for me, that was the developmental period. I'm going with this is the era.
the prepubescent Paul in his magic.
Yeah.
Right. We'll move. We've gone through that. At end of the day, congrats to Shaq.
Absolutely.
I know it's going to divide opinion. But at the end of the day, people's got divided opinions because they're passionate about the Magic, and that's ultimately the main thing that we've all got an opinion on it.
I hope he doesn't get booed. I hope it's universally applauded.
Yeah. Oh no, and you know, and I'll be there. I'll applaud. I'll cheer, and I'm just happy to be there. You know, in attendance for the first one, so that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool to see, regardless, and enjoy it. So. We go from Shaq to our mailbag, and it's around trades, guys, just as a heads up. Our first question came from Liam, and he's highlighted the OG trade. We'll call it the OG-RJ quickly trade, kicking off trade season. Liam wants to know which players should the Magic be going for and which players would you be comfortable giving up here? So, Paul, what would your thoughts be? Which players do you think the Magic should be going for? Who would you be comfortable in giving up?
I guess ultimately we've got to be saying that you're looking at somebody who it's the point guard role or somebody who can spread the floor. It's hard to see where in this squad in this starting five that you can implement somebody who can have more impact than we have at the moment, except, at the point guard role. Jalen, I think Jalen is stating his claim for the shooting guard role. I don't think at this point in time he's a player that you can say anything other than he deserves to be in the starting unit, and his defense is elite. His shooting, as you've already said, Gary, is improving. He is rapidly becoming, I'm not going to say untouchable, but he's one that you don't want to see moving on from the squad, in my opinion. Paolo and Franz are completely untouchable. Completely untouchable. At the centre, finding a big man that shoots from distance isn't the easiest. So we've got three guys there at the moment who all have different attributes, all have different abilities, but all come out and compete. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Wendell starting to get fitness when he was coming from the bench. Much preferred seeing coming from the bench to get his match fitness up rather than in the starting five. So for me, it's in the point guard position. We need somebody who I'd be happy to see somebody who can handle the ball, take some of the scoring, and particularly fire from the three. That'd be excellent to see.
It's interesting what you just said there, Paul, because it's like jumping in here, but Barry Conn sent a message, was saying about how aggressively we go for a shooter, but his second question was a one linking to what you've just said. And it's a close one for G here, so I'll add this little caveat in for him. But how long, when you're thinking about the need for shooting, perhaps what you've just brought up, Paul, how long does Fultz have with the Magic when you're taking this into account? G, what's your thoughts as the president of the Fultz fandom? Like, how worried are you right now? Because we all love Markel, we will say that.
Do you know what? I'm not actually that worried at the moment, because what we've had in the last, you know, month and a half is Anthony Black. And Anthony's come in, rookie, done absolutely brilliantly. You know, he's calling cards on defense, as we saw against, you know, Jalen Brunson, etc. He's hit his, you know, three-point opportunities, but he's not the playmaker that Markel Fultz is. You know, you get Markel on that floor, the tempo changes. You know, the offense totally changes. Okay, you probably lose a little bit of shooting, especially spot-up shooting. But I think you need to get him back on the floor now. You know, this January is going to be key for Markel. Get him in, get him running with, you know, Paolo and Franz again. But it does ask, you know, you make good points. Does it need to be, you know, a traditional point guard? Do we just need a shooter? And, you know, talking about that trade that went down where Toronto acquired Emmanuel Quickley was a player I really liked. A lot of upside, can shoot the ball. Obviously, the Knicks didn't want to pay him, so you know, off they shipped him to Toronto for OG Anunoby, which I think was quite a fair trade. Just, you know, going back to what Liam's question was, Knicks got better, and the Raptors, you know, got two good players, a Canadian player and Quickley. So I'm not that concerned just yet. You know, Markel can do what he can do. We know what he can do. He impacts winning. He pushes the ball. He's active on defense. Going to sound like a broken record because I talk about this all the time, don't I? But just let him play. Just he'll be all right. He'll be all right. Mm-hmm. And then obviously situational then. I think I messaged you boys in the week when I think Anthony Black got the hook in one of the games in the second half. He didn't really feature, and either we started Gary Harris or we chucked in Caleb Houston. I think it might have been the Phoenix game. Caleb came in and knocked two threes, and it's because he just sat in the corner waiting for the ball, and you know he's got a fast release and he can hit that jump shot. And at the time, Black wasn't really giving us anything other than, you know, just dribble handoffs and a bit of defense. So having Caleb in the corner and letting Franz and Paolo run the offense was fine. So I don't know if you actually need the traditional point guard. You might just need shooting.
I'm not saying we need a traditional point guard, mate, by the way, when I was saying at the point guard position, but that's the obvious position because, you know, I mean, Paolo acts in very much as your LeBron does, a lot, handles the ball an awful lot. Yeah. He is the instigator of a lot of plays, particularly whilst Markel has been out. So I get entirely your point. Yes, entirely your point.
And if then, go on, sorry.
No, go on, carry on, mate.
And then you mentioned the trades. Another name I thought I saw on X or Twitter earlier was Wendell Carter possibly being talked about potentially being moved. Now, we know he's on a great contract, but in fairness, Goga Batazi's come in and he's done absolutely everything to earn and try and keep that jersey. Obviously, Wendell's great talent. It would be interesting to know what was out there for him. You know, you take the call. And you make a judgment call on it there, because we've seen how well Goga can play. And Mo Wagner again last night, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, defending, you know, the MVP, Nikola Jokic. Okay, Jokic got his, but Wagner kept his hands, you know, clean. He didn't get into foul trouble, and he did what he was supposed to do. So, interesting times. I wouldn't deal too much, to be honest with you. It'd be fringe players, you know, throwing out names there like OKK maybe. And you'd be looking at somebody like Tyus Jones or Corey Kispert. So, you know, low, I wouldn't sort of break the bank just to go after, you know, a Zach LaVine or anybody like that.
I'm personally, like, listening, I think every point to be made's great. And my view on it really is that I'm not desperate to make a trade.
I agree.
I think the player you mentioned, I think the players who would be most likely, if we were going to ship somebody out the rotation, I think Wendell's someone who there might be calls there for. I'm not saying get rid of Wendell, by the way, because I think he's still in, with the way injuries have hit him this year, he's probably still somewhere at the end of preseason in his development and fitness. But I think Wendell, I still think Gary Harris could go. I think that's there. Players like Chuma put themselves in the window a little bit to a team because, you know, when Chuma really got himself fit and we blew it all up, he did look like he was going to be a real good rotation piece. And I still think that's there for him. So I think maybe, but I think the two players who Orlando might get calls about are Wendell and Gary Harris for different reasons. I think Corey Kispert's an interesting one. It's a player who I think fits quite well with the Magic, but I think if Washington are going to rebuild, I don't know why they would be desperate to trade Kispert because he's still young himself. But I think he could do a role for us off the bench, particularly when we're not seeing Jet Howard at all right now. I think Kispert adds something to us there if Gary Harris was to go. I'd be interested, and it's not me saying that I want this to happen, so I'm just going to say that, but I will be really interested. I could see Golden State picking the phone up to Orlando, and I think Wendell and Gary Harris fit there. If they're trying to stay relevant, Wendell's somebody who can fit into that starting lineup quite well. He can play the four, the five. He's a big body. He's an intelligent player. He can do a bit of everything and get them a double-double. And he's at that age where he's, you know, he would still fit, but he's got time left in him. Gary Harris can hit the three and play defense off the bench or in the starting lineup. And he fits in with, again, somebody who would play Golden State ball. And it's just, I've seen them decline so much. And Paul and G, you've both mentioned it tonight. And I've wondered what would happen if they picked the phone up and threw something like Chris Paul as a veteran. Because we don't know how bad this Markel injury is. I'm worried that it's his shoulder, if I'm being brutally honest. That's my worry. But if Chris Paul was brought in as like a, you look after Anthony Black.
He's broke his hand though, hasn't he?
Yeah, but you look after Anthony Black. Yeah. Be like another veteran voice. I'm not saying I want Chris Paul, but I'm just crossed my mind. But if that gave us the keys to the Magic getting Kuminga and Moody. Because I don't think they fit there.
I don't think you get reason. Both.
Depends how desperate how desperate are they? How desperate are they? Because there's cracks appearing at Golden State. And I'm not saying we would, but right now they need people who can start. And I just think they might try and give it one last swing of the bat because right now it looks like they're going to struggle to get in. They're going to be around 9, 10, 11, 12 because Grizzlies are starting to put it together with Morant back. So it's interesting. That's a team that I thought they might pick the phone up to Orlando in a desperate, we need to stay relevant and keep Steph and Clay happy just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Not saying I would do it, but I just wonder. It's something like it's a little bit different. I thought I'd throw it out there as an outside one. So we've got sorry, Paul.
Gary, I'm going to ask you. It's been muted a couple of times. We've seen various things, and there was a really badly written piece on the internet for Cade. What was your thoughts beyond Cade Cunningham, mate?
I'd love Cade Cunningham. I would if we could. Put it this way, if the Orlando could have a team that would have Paolo, Franz, Jalen and Kalen Jalen and Cade there together on the starting lineup, that's it. That's dangerous. Because I think Cade's,
even if it meant getting rid of Cole?
I think Markel will be out the door first. You know?
I agree.
I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah. 100%. I think the thing that we talk about when we talk about who's likely to go out of the door, what's likely to go out the door more are the draft picks.
Yeah.
And the question has to be asked, how many more young players do we need? Are we getting to that point where we don't need some of those draft picks? And what we need to do is utilize them for other talent.
If Detroit trades Cade Cunningham, they should close the franchise. They should actually close it.
They won't.
But the team. I'll give you a dangerous thought here. When that article came out, what I thought: what if Josh Giddey was to be part of a package with all those draft picks that put Cade alongside Shea, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren in OKC. Because you could basically just, you could write the rest, you could write the Western Conference off for the next 5 years.
SGA is looking immense.
Yeah.
What a season that boy's putting together. Got to applaud him. Absolutely. Yeah. Fingerprints all over that team. I know everybody else is doing well in there, but without him, they are, they're nowhere near that position that they are in this, in the Western Conference. They don't have that record without SGA.
But OKC, why not now?
Yeah.
Why not now? Because they are very, very good. And, you know, there's there's no reason why not. The Lakers are done, I think. The Warriors are done. Phoenix are on the way. You know, are they up? Are they down? Can they beat off injuries? It's taking its toll. You're looking at it then and you're like, right, well, okay, can Minnesota or Denver as the defending champions? They're the two teams in their way. And it's not, I don't think it's a huge gap.
That was another one you said to me the other day, Gar, wasn't it? You'd be looking at Phoenix as well about Devin Booker.
I'd love Devin Booker. He's a third option, Devin Booker. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, be pretty good, wouldn't it?
I find it incredible. They're only eighth in the West. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
Minnesota are a surprise this season so far, without a doubt.
Fair play, though.
And we'll see them next week.
Yep.
Fair play to Rudy Gobert. He doesn't get much credit for fair play to him.
That's what I'm wanting. That's what I want for my birthday.
Rudy Gobert.
No, a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. No, I'm not bothered. No, mate, I remember being asked some time ago, Mike, I think Mikey and I were having a discussion as to if you could get a centre in, who would you go, who would you be, who would your choice be? And I think at that point, Gobert was my choice because he is that pure defensive centre. I think Mikey was on the, he'd have gone Bam.
Okay. Interesting.
But he and Kat have seemed to have worked it out this season. I think that was something that when we did the preview of the season, looking at each of the teams, said that that had to be their priority, getting them to being able to play together. It seemed to have worked it out.
But obviously, Anthony Edwards has taken a big leap as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would Gobert still be your centre if you could have one in?
I think for a team with a defensive-minded coach that like we have, who wants to see second-chance points, it's hard to find one that's kind of more suited to the role than him.
Walker Kessler?
I think the guy's a cracking player. Cracking player.
It'd be cheaper.
There's some great options out there. Oh god, yeah. There's some great options out there.
Who would be yours, G? If I'd say any centre for G, Paul's sticking.
Oh yeah, you'd take Embiid, don't you?
Sorry, you go for you.
Yeah, Joel Embiid. You get him in there with Paolo and Franz, and I think that's the East's sewn up for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not good
a player as he is, I just don't like Embiid.
Given our age. Like about the man. Given our age, I would love to see what a front court would look like of Paolo, Franz, and Şengün.
Great. Yeah. He's a good player. He is a really good player. He's got.
I liked him in the draft.
You did.
So I wouldn't mind seeing that. Or the Joker, but there you go. So our upcoming games. We've got the Atlanta Hawks and we've got the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, Paul, you're going to be the birthday boy. So, I'm going to start with you. What's your predictions?
I actually think we can get two this week. I do think on home court we can get two. I know that Minnesota are doing really, really well. I understand that. I can see that we are having issues around injury. Hopefully, we perhaps see one or two come back sooner rather than later. I could see us taking Atlanta. We owe them one for that game in Mexico. Should have been a home court victory. I don't see why we can't win that one. And I can just see us actually upsetting Minnesota. Regardless of us having only gone 1-3 on this West Coast trip, I think there's so many positives that the team will take and confidence from all four games that they can compete with anybody. And I think that they've got a chance of showing a bit of spirit. And I've got to go for a win on my birthday, for God's sake. I'm not going to predict that the Magic are going to spoil my birthday, am I?
No. Paul, I'm really looking forward to a birthday slice. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'll have to have some balloons or something behind just to spice it up for the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need it.
The concern is all of the injuries. And we've heard people say, you know, you come back from a West Coast trip, four games, the first game's always hard to get, you know, your legs going. And JT said this, you know, as an ex-player, the first game is always a little bit flat. That Atlanta game is the one we need to win. Just because, A, we owe them, as Paul said, and they're in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, just hands them another L. I'm going to go 1-1 and say we'll beat the Hawks. But obviously a lot rests on who we've got available. I think Minnesota probably got a bit too much for us. I'd love us to go 2-0. But if it's 1-1, it's not the end of the world. And we're still in that, you know, 4-8 pack in the East, but we got to start picking up wins because, you know, it's getting very competitive now. Indiana have won a lot, Miami are winning, and you don't want to fall, you know, into the 7-8 slot basically. So just keep there through January. Mm-hmm. How about you, Gar?
Given how our injuries are, and when we release an update and it's like, oh, they're doing well, and then we don't see them for 3 months, I'm going to be the cautious one. I think we might go 0-2.
Let's hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just the injuries, Franz Wagner, not knowing when certain players who we thought we might see quickly, and then they haven't re-emerged that quick. The minutes in the legs off a West Conference road, it just worries me. I think I could see the Hawks game maybe being a huge ask. And then Minnesota coming in, being how they are, it worries me. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to say 0-2, and we'll have three different predictions, combinations there.
You know, if you asked me any week other than my birthday week, it would have been a different prediction, this one.
Hey, we didn't mention, I got it right last time when we said about the 3-1 week.
There he is.
I don't recall that.
The Devin Kennedy episode.
No, I don't recall that, mate. No, I don't recall you saying that.
Poor G. Powered by cough syrup and he's still getting hit.
I know. I'm trying not to laugh.
Right. I think that's going to about do it for this week's episodes. But as always, thank you for listening. If you like the episode, please subscribe. Please give us a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. It helps us massively. Do leave your comments. Do leave your questions. We do try to respond. If you're listening to this, obviously leave us a nice review, share it with other Magic fans, help us grow. You can like us on Facebook, follow on Instagram, TikTok, X @_ Let's Talk Magic. So for a coughing G and a birthday boy soon to be Paul, and for myself, let's go Magic and let's win at least one game next week.